Well, what's up, you scruffy-looking nerf herders? You're listening to the Imperial Senate podcast. I'm Charlie, and joining me today are Nikki and Claire. How are you guys doing?
My dad.
Right, do we get that out of our system?
Said nobody ever. That's a very original line to say.
Did that answer your question, Charlie?
You know what? It did. It just about did. I'm glad no one... I mean, I'm a bit sort of disappointed that no one said my wife. So anyone wants to get that out of their systems now? Okay, thanks, Nick. What have you guys been up to?
Man, living the dream.
Living La Vida Loca.
Yeah. Did some Thanksgiving shenanigans, and because of my brother and sister-in-law, I pretty much drank heavily for 5 days in a row and barely got any sleep.
We should probably just interrupt and just, if you're a kid listening to this, don't be like Claire.
Don't.
Why are kids listening to us?
I mean, if my nephew...
Where are your parents?
If my nephews are listening to this, which is a possibility, they know it happened because they made fun of me in the morning and I'd look rough and they'd be like, oh, hey, Claire. I'm like, nah, it's okay. They know what's up. But they're 12. They're almost 13 years old. They're aware of what's going on when Aunt Claire comes to town, and that is dad pressures her into drinking heavily. But it was other than the crazy amount of hangovers I experienced over Thanksgiving, things are good. How about what's new with you guys?
Nikki, how was your Thanksgiving?
Well, it was great because I was alone. and I spent it watching movies. But I did make one, I made one Black Friday purchase. Ooh. And it makes me so happy. The Sphero R2-D2 went on mega sale, and I picked it up, and it is amazing.
That's awesome. Oh, we should, you should bring it, and then we can race at Celebration.
This is my R2-D2. no, yeah, if like you're not aware of what it does, it's like a lot. They definitely like made it better than they made the BB-8 one, because it has like built-in speakers and lights up and stuff. And some of the emotions you can do with it are funny. Like, I wish there was a warning for one of them, because I hit it and it did the, like when the Jawas stun it and he like freaked out, froze up, and then fell forward. And I was like, no, don't just fall. I got to put you on carpet first. You're freaking me out. No damage though, so
that's my favorite emote thing that it does. It's so funny. But yeah, it made me nervous the first time it happened too. I was like, God, don't break it, I just got it.
Yeah, like it was one of the first ones I tried, and I was like, no, please don't be ruined. But yeah, that was kind of the exciting thing that happened for me. I didn't quite get as as hardcore drunk as Claire does, unfortunately.
It does. That implies that it's an ongoing thing. I would be dead if I kept this up. It was not good.
I also... I did have a great Star Wars.
Huh?
So what are you trying to say there, Charlie?
Don't hurt me again, please.
Oh my god.
You're ruining our family.
Oh, R2-D2 is crying in the corner, falling on carpets.
Oh my god.
I did have a great Star Wars interaction the other day.
Ooh, tell
that
us.
That exemplifies my life. So I was at Target.
Ooh.
And wearing a Rogue One t-shirt, as one does.
Of course.
And then the dude at the checkout was this kind of like, I wouldn't say elderly, but an older gentleman. And he was like, oh man, that Rogue One, that was a crazy movie. And I was like, yeah, sure was. Definitely, it was a ride. He was like, yeah, that blah, blah, blah. He just kept going on about Rogue One in a positive way. And then he went on to the next stage. He's like, you know what? I really like that Episode One. A lot of people, they ain't into Episode One, but that was always my favorite. I was like, oh man, go you. You know, I'm all for that prequel positivity, that the Phantom Menace love. And then he was like, yeah, yeah. And then I saw Solo. Solo was fun, too. Oh, that Woody Harrelson. And he's just, like, going off on all these Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn. This is the good stuff out here. Just people being happy about Star Wars, making my day, giving me my items. And I left Target with a smile on my face because of Star Wars love.
And that old man was George Lucas.
And that old man was the friends we made along the way.
That's a pretty cool story, though. It's nice to see some people, you know, different. It doesn't matter how old you are, you can enjoy the films. Or be young and be...
And, like, you just expect... Like, you just expect in those situations now someone to complain.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, well, I hated that. And just the fact that he hit 3 movies... And only said good things about each one. I was like, this is a good interaction.
That makes me happy. And like an older person who like is so pro prequel. That makes me happy too.
Yeah, yeah. Because when he first said Episode One, I was like, oh, he probably means A New Hope. Because like to people like that, you know, the first one is, you know, they call it Episode One or whatever. But no, he was... He was pro Phantom.
I also wish you had.
And I know you meant.
Sorry.
Oh no, no, no! I was just gonna say I know you meant Phantom Menace, but my brain went of the opera, and Kristen's not here to go off on that tangent with me, so I'll just let that sit.
Phantom Menace of the Opera. Yeah, is that enough?
That was
maybe next time I'll find
out. I mean,
yes.
I kind of wish you got his number so he could join the podcast, because I really want to hear his reviews for the other films, because his review for Solo being, wow, that Woody Harrelson guy. I'd love to hear his description of all the other films.
Yeah, me too, actually. Because he had a great voice, too. He would have made a great podcast guest. I'll have to run back to Target.
That's right. You got to ask his opinions on The Last Jedi. Did you get those from him?
No, I you know, I kept it clean. I didn't want to like push any buttons. Yeah, you know, it's like you never know. It's like we'll keep it on his terms.
It'd be great if you ran back to Target and you're like, "Hey, does Jim still work here?" And the guy's like, "Jim died 4 years ago."
Oh man.
The ghost of Target Pass.
He was a Force ghost.
Oh my god.
Is that by George Lucas?
Oh my god.
Hey, the Hayden Christensen ghost. Straight right. Get out of here.
Oh my god.
So, what's new in our life? I mean, obviously, I don't have Thanksgiving, so not much has been going on in my life apart from Actually, leading into our next, like, the first sort of segment of the show, I've been playing Battlefront 2 again.
Yay! And you played with me one time.
I did. And we kicked their ass.
Sure.
Do you disagree?
I mean, I didn't.
You were fine.
If we were in Starfighter Assault, if anybody had been playing Starfighter Assault that day, and then I would have been destroying, because that's my jam. But
oh, it's the best mode.
Thank you.
It is the best. I mean,
thank you.
We were on Starfighter. We were trying to do Starfighter Assault for about an hour, and it just wouldn't load. Everyone was doing everything else, I guess. Trying to get Geonosis and never getting it. Speaking of Geonosis. Obi-Wan Kenobi has joined General Grievous and friends. I'm assuming the clones, not just, you know, his friends in the temple. In Battlefront 2, and Geonosis become playable for the game. I downloaded it. Took me a night to download. I had to leave the PS4 on overnight. Still haven't got it yet. I haven't played Geonosis. What about you guys?
No, I've tried.
I haven't touched Battlefront 2 in a while, unfortunately.
One day we'll get to
We bumped into Obi-Wan, though, which was fun.
Oh, yeah, we did. And got straight up murdered by Obi-Wan.
I killed Obi-Wan nice. Once, so you're welcome.
Oh, really? I just got my butt kicked. Thanks, buddy.
I do have to say that I love the model and the fact that they've used James Earl Taylor, because he's just perfect for the voice. But the image they use for the when you select the character in the menu, you have like the different sort of facial images to show you who you're going to pick, and the one they've used for Obi-Wan, it's what I can describe as Ewan McGregor's face every time someone asks him if he's doing a solo film. It's like what? It's just a weird face they've used for that sort of segment. It's pretty great.
Have you guys seen the clip making the rounds of Kylo Ren approaching Obi-Wan? And in classic James Arnold Taylor voice, he says, "That lightsaber looks like it was made by a child."
Oh my god. No.
Oh my god, that's perfect.
I have to watch it.
That's the content we're here for.
That's so good. Thank you, Battlefront. I needed that.
It's
now
worth
I gotta
it,
go beat that. Kylo Ren and go find some Obi-Wan. Amazing.
I know that
Obi-Wan, the sass master.
I think in the voice files there is like Obi-Wan quotes that mention Ahsoka, so I'm interested to see whether they're going to introduce her as a character later on in the game.
They've got to do it. They've got to. It's just. I mean, come on.
So how does it work now? Like, you have to play to earn these things. You can't just sort of, like, go in and play as them. Is that how that works?
Kind of. You have to get the certain amount of sort of credits. So it's 35,000, I think. And once you get that, you can unlock the character. But I'm pretty sure if you just went to play an arcade, I think all the characters are unlocked anyway.
I think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's probably what I would do. It's like, I don't know what these credits are. I'm an old person. I don't know what credits are.
You just, you know.
That's my idea with Battlefront. It's like, I have neither time nor will to earn
neither
credits.
Neither do I, but just playing the other night was just fun. Like, getting back into the swing of things again. So maybe, hopefully, I'll keep at it and finally get to unlock Ewan McGregor. You
should. I'm always down to play, you know.
Exactly, yeah. Let's do it. All right, see you guys.
It's been fun. Hope you enjoyed
good
it.
Episode. I'll take it from here, guys. You go play Battlefront.
I'm joining Pete. Hey, that Woody Harrelson. You're glowing. I think the 200 12th Battalion is also available to unlock as a skin for the clones, which is pretty cool. Although, and it makes it easier for me to shoot the heavy troopers because they all look like Cody, and I hate Cody, so.
You just hate Kobe because Kobe. Cody because he turned on Obi.
Yeah, oh, I like that. I used to love Commander Cody, like the outfit and stuff as a kid. And then growing up, I just gradually started hating him more because of what he did. Yeah.
He was their friend.
He was the chosen one. I, do you know what it is? I think the Clone Wars retrospectively made me hate him more because Rex proved that, there was an exception to the rule. And so Cody has no excuses, frankly.
Yeah. Cody's a rules man. Unfortunately.
What happened to him?
For Boga.
Get out. Don't you say that word to me right now. I'm sensitive. Hey. Quit it. Quit it with your Boga noises. No. Stop. That's the saddest moment ever in all of Star Wars. Get out. Do not imitate the noise. I'm not okay with it. This is no. No longer friends. No more Battlefront for you.
Hey, let me tell you, I didn't see a dead body. I tell you that much.
Obi-Wan.
I bet he crawled off. He was like, fuck this shit.
I hope that's exactly.
Boga gets on his speeder. He gets on like a shuttle and he's like, I am going to fucking Hosnian Prime.
Oh, don't say that either.
And then he sees the beams from Starkiller Base coming and he's like, fuck this shit. I'm getting on a shuttle and I'm going to Naboo. And then actually he then goes back to Utapau because Utapau's like safe now.
It's really just a happy story. How was his trip? He didn't say.
Oh, that's good. It's good.
No,
stuff.
But the Boga died. I mean, we're not down that, right? Claire, the Boga what? Died, right?
What? They never explicitly say whether the Boga died, but they. But what?
Well,
but Obi-Wan is like pretty sure it died. I think it's I think it was kind of fading.
I think that lungs just filled up with water, and he drowned below.
I'm sad. So you know what? Since they never like flat out say Boga's dead, although Obi-Wan's like, oh yeah, that but little buddy's dead.
It's the special edition for the prequels.
I choose to believe.
Only one change, and it's just an extra scene where Ewan McGregor goes, Boga died. And you're just like, everyone died. Loads of children. He's like, yeah, but Boga died. It's like, priorities you must have.
And Obi-Wan was never wrong, ever. The end.
Yeah, definitely never made any wrong decisions at any point in the Star Wars saga. Definitely not.
I mean, that mullet.
Okay, there's one.
So when is Boga going to be a playable character in
that better be a
two?
Vehicle. I want to ride Boga as a vehicle. It'd be so good.
Not as a person?
Well, you know what I mean. I feel like Boga's not a good playable character.
We need Boga in Starfighter Assault.
Yes.
Fucking flying around.
I can't wait for the Blaster Cliff skin.
Oh my god, no. Get out. No noise. Quit the noise. That noise is not nice.
Voiced by D. Bradley Baker.
I was just going to ask, I remember back in the day they would sort of release like a calendar of upcoming content. Is there anything sort of teased or scheduled for what's beyond Geonosis?
That's a good question.
There is, but it keeps changing. I'm sure, I know Anakin's coming out, I think, next year.
Annie Bobin.
Annie? But yeah, I know Anakin's definitely coming out. I know there's a new Starfighter mode where you can attack capital ships. I think like the classic Battlefront sort of thing, which I'm looking forward to seeing. I think the likelihood with Battlefront is that they're going to just continue to upload to Battlefront 2, even though that means it'll be like the biggest game ever, as in file size. So I just imagine in the near future they're going to keep sort of adding to these maps, but I know they keep changing it depending on the problems that they're facing, or they can't hit that time.
Yeah, it's a turbulent situation with EA and Star Wars. It kind of seems.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely the game's definitely good. It just sucks that it's taken so long to get there.
One day.
One day. Maybe next celebration we can be surprised or something else. I just want to get that Death Star 1 map back.
Yeah.
With the new Starfighter mode. I feel like that'll be so good.
I feel like the last EA panel I went to at a celebration, they just sort of like replayed a trailer that was already on YouTube. And I was like, what? What is going on here?
A game. It was a little Avengers.
Yeah. So hopefully some more exciting things, because those Battlefront panels were always huge at previous celebrations.
Speaking of exciting things, we've got some more Mandalorian news.
Yes.
Yeah. So Nick Nolte is joining the cast.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, what do you guys think about that?
That's all I got. I mean, he seems like a kind of gruff old dude, at least how he looks right now. So if we want to dig into that as much as humanly possible, he might be playing some sort of like veteran character. But I mean, yeah, there's obviously very little to go off of. I mean, none of these casting rumors have even been officially announced by Lucasfilm. So we're still it's still really just the guessing game.
It just seems very, I mean, it's cool. And I don't know much of Nick Nolte's work, but it's interesting. The casting is just interesting for the show. Very eclectic sort of bunch. Again, I don't really have that much to say, but the story sounds like it's going to be a good one if they got this amount of people in it. Also, Andrew Eisen, who was the editor for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, has joined the crew, which was good because I feel like Guardians 2, like the way it was edited and structured, was beautiful. Yeah,
there was a lot in that movie too, and it still kept like a pretty good pace. So that's always it seems like a promising choice for some post production stuff.
I'm excited about it. I agree. I think that that Guardians Volume 2 is edited beautifully, and that movie is such like a quirky, it's just done in such a quirky, interesting style that I think it's interesting that he's joining on to The Mandalorian. Nick Nolte, I have realized while scrolling through IMDb that I do not remember seeing him in anything. So I'm like, I haven't seen that movie. I haven't seen that either. Okay, not much to add on that one. But I hear that people are, he's an Oscar-nominated actor. That's pretty legit.
Exactly,
nominated three times, according to IMDb. So that's, they're definitely getting a talented cast. I can speak to that much.
Yeah, for sure. That's always great. You want them to do a good job. I don't really have that much to add to it because I don't know his work. Which is great for a podcast.
Yeah.
the whole project is just full of talented people, so it could be about a gonk droid and still be excited. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, you know me. Mm-hmm. Always excited about them gonk droids.
You love a gonk.
I do. I love a good gonk.
Big old gonk.
That's what we need. We need our standalone gonk, a Star Wars story. That's what I want.
That'd be great. A little mouth droid. The Disney Plus series.
Get on that.
Also behind the scenes, we saw an image the other day on, I think it was Jon Favreau's Instagram, of, I believe it was him, Jon Favreau, Taika Waititi, and the Russo brothers, who, as you know, directed Community, Arrested Development, and more famously, the Captain America Winter Soldier, Captain America Civil War, and Avengers Infinity War, as well as the upcoming Avengers 4.
Mm-hmm. I think Peyton Reed was also there.
Oh, yeah.
Ant-Man.
Cool.
Ant-Man dude. So a little Marvel hangout session on set of The Mandalorian.
What do you guys think about this? Like, sort of getting some of the talent that we've seen in some of Disney's other profitable franchises sort of just involved?
I mean, I don't know, like, I think it kind of sounds like they were just there to hang out. I don't know if it's any indication of Lucasfilm, you know, like trying to bring them in or anything. Yeah. But I think it's cool. It's always good to see like strong professional relationships, because even if they're not involved directly, it's good to see sort of like talented people always being like a support system for each other. You can always bounce things off around other talented minds. So I think it's, no matter what the situation was, I think it's just healthy to see good working relationships.
And apparently as well, the Russo, Joe Russo, in fact, said that there's some interesting filming tech being used for The Mandalorian, which, you know, coming from them,
yeah,
sounds pretty big. Like, you know, considering they've worked on the Avengers, and if it's interesting filming tech for this, it just makes your mind boggle, right?
Yeah, I've got the quote here. He says, talking about Jon Favreau, he says, "Jon is always at the forefront of cutting-edge tech, and he is shooting this in a way that no one has ever shot anything ever before. It's pretty astounding." So yeah, something impressive is going on the set of The Mandalorian. I don't know what it means, whether he's talking about just the filming technology or if there's like motion capture stuff going on. But it seems like they're really sort of pushing a few boundaries in the creation of this series. So yeah, that's
it
definitely
really
exciting.
Is. And I, as we said, since I totally don't know what I'm talking about, this does make for excellent podcasting, but I have no idea what that could possibly mean either. And that's just so exciting. I don't know what we're in for, other than it's just going to be different. And there's so many talented people working on it that I'm so excited by all of this. I don't want Star Wars to always look the same. I don't want it to always feel the same, except for it needs to feel like Star Wars. Simply, that's the only thing I care about. So I'm excited that we're going to probably be getting a new kind of Star Wars. It's going to be good.
Yeah. And we recently got a teaser trailer for Jon Favreau's Lion King, which obviously, with I guess even looking back at Jungle Book, is using a lot of new technology, or you know, enhanced technology to tell those stories with that, you know, hyper realistic sort of CGI.
It's amazing how he got those animals to act that way.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
You know, those wildebeests are usually so hard to take
on other
directions.
Films, they're very sort of difficult to work with. The way you got those lines to just, you know, purely act of instinct is great. And I feel like he can do a lot for the actual human actors on the project. Which should be good.
Yeah.
There's also a Making Star Wars article released the other day that seemingly spotted some classic creatures. Did you see this?
I did not. Classic creatures. Hi, I'm listening.
So, that, yeah, there was a rumor that potentially this show could be taken, set partly on Tatooine. And it was up in the air, obviously. It's still up in the air. But a good hint towards it being the case is that apparently some Jawas were seen being filmed on set, which would be the first time we've seen them since the prequels.
My cousins.
Oh, they're cousins, right?
Yeah, they are.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little disappointed they didn't fill me in on that. I would have showed up to the reunion.
Are you part Jawa?
Well, I'm definitely not part Wookiee.
What's that supposed to mean? Nick. Oh, yeah, by the way, guys, Nikki is part Wookiee.
Nikki is. I'm throwing some shade.
Hey, you know, it's a blessing and a curse.
You can't push a Coke. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty...
Yeah, man, Jawas. I'm into that. I miss them.
It seems weird that we haven't seen them since, like... Were they in Revenge of the Sith? I don't think they were they? So the first time since...
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we it's the first only time had that since last shot, Tatooine. Yeah, so... Yeah, that's right. And even then, I mean, that was hardly a hardly a performance,
that
right?
Like, point
in the distance. Cool.
Yeah, you're dead, Tom.
I think that was it. Was a cool shot though, with the sort of like lined up sand, open sand crawlers and stuff. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they're like in 2019 or whatever. I think there was also some images of. Yes. Death troopers.
I did hear about
running
that.
Around. So, death troopers versus yes. Jawas, the
showdown of the
wanted.
Century.
Death troopers don't stand.
They're very
a chance.
Tall, and the Jawas are very small. So I feel like they've got the edge.
Jawas yeah. can stun their little voice boxes.
You know what else
or whatever.
They can do? Well, they have a lower center of gravity. That's what I always say when anybody threatens to fight me. Like, dude, I got a much lower center of gravity than you do. I'm much more stable. I'll take your ass down.
Jeez,
I mean, they'd be kind of
right
aiming up, probably, if we're talking death troopers, but I bet they could reach.
It's a little upward thrust.
So, punching death troopers in the dick. That's all we have for the Mandalorian, I guess.
Spoiler alert.
Stay tuned, everybody.
So, big up stuff next coming. Is the Cassian Andor show, which is what I hope they call it.
The Cassian Andor Variety Hour.
Tonight with Cassian Andor.
It's just a talk show.
Oh my god.
I'd watch that.
I've been in this chair since I was 6 years old.
The band leader is Max Rebo.
Oh my god. I need this now.
Like, his monologue portion is literally just him saying everything he's been in since he was 6 years old. And now let's meet our guest. This week, for the 47th time, it's K2.
I'm here to rescue you. From his bad comedy.
Oh, man.
No, but going back on track.
The possibilities are endless with this show.
Stephen Schiff, who was the showrunner on The Americans, is the showrunner of Cassian Andor. Tonight with Cassian Andor. I haven't seen The Americans, but I've heard of it, and I know it's very good. It's got very decent spy content, which sort of fits Cassian's character. What do you guys think about this piece of news?
I think it's a cool choice because, yeah, obviously The Americans is a spy sort of thing, like undercover Soviets, you know, stuck in American life or whatever. I haven't seen the show either, but I think I'm like familiar enough with the premise to understand that this seems like a good fit. Obviously, Cassian is a spy for the rebellion, so it's cool to see if this is an indication that they're going to be like really leaning hard into that sort of covert nature of his job.
Let's make it a perfect 3 for 3. I also have not seen The Americans.
suck.
I haven't seen anything, I guess. I need to get on that. I've seen what counts. I've seen the good stuff. I don't know much about, you know, but it's good that he's got some experience being sneaky spy stuff. I have seen some people online who are less than pleased with having him on board because of his portrayal of the movie Lolita, which I have not seen either. I don't know much about that controversy in general other than it was not portrayed well. Other than that, I don't really know what I'm just kind of talking out of my butt on that one, but hopefully this is a good call. But maybe I should watch The Americans. I'm just going to keep writing a list of things I haven't seen while recording today. So
yeah, I mean, obviously these shows they're still so little like genuinely known about them that it's kind of like it's still very much I guess we'll wait and see type thing. But yeah, I mean, hopefully promising directions for both these shows
specifically, like getting to actually see Cassian do his spy work, not just that Ring of Kathrine segment, will be pretty cool. And the fact that they got someone who is responsible for such a hit spy show is only bolsters my opinion that it might be a good idea to see this through. But also, like you said, we don't know much about it, and I feel like that's good. It's nice to just not worry too much about it. It's almost like a little bit of bonus to the films. It's kind of like a little bit of dessert. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't really want to worry about it, but it's nice and sweet, and
yeah,
you probably
sure.
love it anyway. Yeah.
And it's coming, you know? Just be excited. That is coming.
Talking about something that popped
and then
up
we can
last week.
Eviscerate it later.
Galaxy of Adventures was announced and then subsequently aired 2 days later, which is pretty cool. And it is pretty impressive.
That's some turnaround right there.
Will be released tomorrow. No.
Let's get all content like this.
So Galaxy of Adventures obviously is these young anime shorts for young people. Young anime shorts, they're very tiny shorts. I don't know what I'm saying. What am I saying?
They are shorts. They are short. Yeah.
They are tiny shorts. Go on, continue.
They're short shorts.
No, we're good. I'm good, man.
No. Okay. So we like short shorts. Who likes short shorts? We do. So a new StarWarsKids.com and StarWarsKids YouTube channel popped up. And the first 6 shorts combine original dialogue, music, and sound effects with these bold new animations that will help sort of intrigue and educate kids into learning about these stories. And I was intrigued by the actual first reaction to these because I saw a lot of angry people.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, getting very angry about kids liking Star Wars. Like, this is the entry point. And that they're not watching their films, which I found weird because is that the case for everyone? Like, think about the original Star Wars films. Maybe a lot of people got into those stories because the figures looked cool. Or, I don't know, they read a book or they saw The Clone Wars for the first time. It seems weird to, like, sort of shit on someone, especially a child, for not getting into the series the right way. It also has the notion that you're suggesting that they're not going to end up watching the films.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. Like, I doubt you'd get into Star Wars and go, do you know what? I don't think these stories are necessary. I don't have to get into these movies to find out more. Especially since these animations are very short. It just seems a bit silly, to be honest with you. Like, my brothers like watching Rebels sometimes. They're like seeing small clips. But the thing they love the most is the Lego Star Wars, which is absolutely not canon, but it gets them interested. It is really good. What do you guys think about shorts and just
so good,
the reaction in general?
Yeah. I mean, for me, this is kind of like, it's kind of a weird opinion for someone who co-hosts a podcast, but I don't know why people have such like strong reactions to some things. Like when they announced this and I sort of saw like the clips and stuff, like I knew sort of like a recontextualizing of scenes from movies was not something I was interested in, but I also didn't feel the need to express that I was not interested in it. Like it just, you know, you just, I was just like, yeah, it's for a different like kind of person who, you know, that sort of reimagining of classic scenes is useful. Like for me, that's not something I need. So I'm not like super bothered, but for other people that, like you said, like a cool way just to be exposed to it, or you know, find it as a little entry point. So yeah, I mean the fact that it had a negative reaction in really any way is just kind of absurd to me. Like if you don't need to see it,
it reminds me, like,
just let it exist.
If you're a parent, somewhere else, would you rather you react to your kid? If a kid says to you, "Daddy, I want to learn more about Luke Skywalker," do you say, "Okay, here's this YouTube video. It's a really little cool, interesting animation, and it will help explain sort of who he is and why he does what he does"? Or would you go, "Well, actually, son, you better read Splinters of the Mind's Eye first"?
You four-year-old.
Sit down for 2.5 hours and watch this movie from the 70s. You dumb kid.
Oh man. It's just you're right. Stupid Nikki, though, toddler. It's just so funny that people are it's just so funny to me that people are reacting so strongly, because when I saw this, yeah, as well, it's not for me, except that the animation style I love, and I think it looks super cute and interesting but as somebody who introduced my 7-year-old niece to Star Wars through Forces of Destiny and had her freak out and adore it, this is like the perfect kind of medium to get some of those kids into. Because I know her, and I know she would not sit down to watch a full Star Wars movie with me. She'd get distracted or do something else, and that's fine. It's just not really mm-hmm. her cup of tea or her attention span yet. But I know that she and I could sit down and watch 4 or 5 of these back to back and have her be like, "This is awesome. I love this." And as long as, you know, and Star Wars should be for all age groups, and there should be content for everybody, not just us adults. Like, kids got to love this stuff too, or it's not going to keep going. And this is a really, really neat way to get these little kids familiar with the story of Star Wars and what started it all. So, yeah, I don't get the uproar over it either.
Yeah. It's a good jumping off point from like what Forces of Destiny started, right? With these kind of shorts. Cause even some kids probably aren't good with 20-minute episodes, right? Of a show. So just these little snippets of character, and for, I guess, like, probably Forces of Destiny was a little more character driven, but you know, just to get these little samplings of what this is about. And it, obviously they're animated in cool ways. So yeah, I think it's a healthy thing to continue on with after what Forces of Destiny did.
Why can't we see toilet breasts?
You know what, Charlie? I ask myself that question every day.
What about the Old Republic?
Tits up.
Where's the Old Republic? Das Render. Oh.
Sorry. They should do, like, you know,
oh my God,
Star Wars kids animated clips or stories that were in the EU, and you can just see how bad it is retrospectively. This is Prince.
Oh my God.
Zizor. He is making Leia very happy.
Oh boy.
She doesn't want to be happy. It's because he has magic skin.
And himself.
If he chops his willy off, it grows back. He's a lizard.
He sweats funny.
He has a cyborg companion who is a woman, goodness, who looks sexy. Because why not?
Okay. If you have a cyborg companion and you don't make them sexy, what are you doing? That's a missed opportunity. That's a missed opportunity.
You're making a robot best friend.
What the fuck is wrong with you? It's the most realistic thing in the entire year.
Oh my God. Oh, I can't.
Don't forget to subscribe to Star Wars Kids.
That's right.
Put that on a t-shirt.
If we're your referral to Star Wars Kids, there's something wrong here.
I mean, I've watched two.
Zero.
How many of these Galaxy Adventure shorts have you guys watched? If any.
Well, the Luke Skywalker one is really cool. Because you... Oh, mm-hmm. Popo are here.
Do you have any, like, initial feelings on those ones in particular?
Come on and get me.
They heard about the cyborg make loving.
Oh, they're coming. They heard about the kids. Loving?
Okay. Ignore that. what were we saying?
It's been a long day.
Oh, yes. Luke Skywalker one was really cool because obviously the animation style was awesome. But the Darth Vader one?
You were like, giving your impression on the shorts you watched.
You know me. I love Vader. I love the animation style for that. Yeah, it was just really cool to see. Like, the animation style was so cool. Like, I don't care if it's for kids. I would watch that on a loop. And the Leia, I think I saw a bit of the Leia one as well. Just the design and the color scheme, like the blues and the sort of the pinks for the Tantive IV was really cool. So, yeah, I didn't watch all of them, obviously. To be fair, they weren't available for outside the US for a little bit. So, yeah. What about you? Oh yeah, nobody likes.
Oh, okay. Us.
I think it has something to do with what did we do again?
International distribution rights, or
by force.
Weird.
Imperialism.
What?
That's what's that? Could be part of it.
Huh? What?
No,
I don't remember that.
Just some casual imperialism.
No.
No. Oh, well, you know. Maybe it's just me.
That'd be a weird stance for Disney to take, though, considering the role they play in the market.
Oh boy, imperialism, pretty cool, huh? Manifest Destiny, Pluto. Oh, capitalism. Oh, the proletariat will take over. Oh. Buy our merch. Uh-huh. T
tpublic.com.
The secret meetings of Disney. But yeah, I guess it'll definitely be interesting. I think there are like 30 of these things lined up. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so it'll definitely be interesting to see how much they jump around between movies and characters, or if it's going to be just a lot of
OT.
Yeah, like kind of classics. Well,
I'm glad, because it's about time we had some OT content.
It's really underserved.
Disney practically ignored it.
Era. I really hope they put it between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. Because I feel like it's so barren, that whole time frame.
Ugh, that's depressing. Do you still read the comics?
Yeah, I don't read the main Star Wars line anymore.
Not really, no.
Sticking with Vader until
with the main Star Wars line. Month.
Yeah.
Until it's over, but sad face.
I'm sticking with you.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I feel like some of these, it's almost like there's too much story, right? Like I miss the days of being a little like
boy
mysterious and what happened. But it almost seems like just something epic is happening every week to these people. And it just, to me, it's not as interesting. So that's why I don't really venture into that world.
Well,
too much.
Speaking of comics and big events, let's dive into everybody's favorite part of the week. Okay, it's the moist segment. Is that what we're calling it? The moist segment. What made you moist? Hashtag moisten you up.
Mine is relevant to what we just talked
about.
Who wants
to go first and spout from the tap?
Right? Definitely not you.
Is it? who so, knew?
Even though I said that I'm not caught up on the main Star Wars line, comic, whatever, mine has to be, Jesus Christ, without a doubt, thing that made me moist in Star Wars this week was shirtless Han Solo chopping some wood, making Leia blush, like full on blush. She's like solid 10 shades darker than she was in the previous panel. But to be fair, if I walked up on sexy buff Harrison Ford chopping wood, I'd be the same way. And in the like the end of the panel, he says, "Care to join me?" Yes, I would care to join you. Oh my God.
He's wiping some moistness going on in that panel.
My last pit.
Oh.
He looks like he took some spray on those. You know, like when you go to like a like Six Flags or something, and they have those fans with the mist spray. Yeah, like he looks like he sort of stood in front of a few of those while he's hacking away at that wood.
Glistening. Yeah.
I like how he's still got his like blaster holster on though.
Yeah.
No.
What's that in your pocket?
he's just making sure, you know, you don't want to get caught unaware when you're chopping wood shirtless.
little Ben swimming around down there, getting excited.
Oh my.
Oh my word.
Oh goodness.
Now that's moist.
I think we can see where Ben Swolo got his swollenness from.
Oh, definitely. 100%. Han just needs higher pants, that's all.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Maybe they just weren't in fashion yet.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say. Yeah, not in fashion yet.
Yeah, wait 30 years or so. But fashion is cyclical, so you never know what's coming back.
Is Leia swole as well? That's the question.
Is she swole? Is she swolo?
Yeah.
I mean, girl can hold her own. I mean, I think that she's She's a little bit tiny, but underneath that puffy Hoth outfit, girl's jacked.
Maybe she really like fully embraces it upon marriage. She really
she's like lifting Ben and
like that was their honeymoon or whatever. It was just them chopping wood.
Definitely.
Oh, hello. On Endor.
But you can't tell. She never skips leg day.
When they land on Endor, Leia's like, fuck. This is the best. There's so many trees.
Oh, Han and I are getting frisky tonight.
Why don't you lose the pants, Han?
Somebody will have some wood. Hey.
But keep the boots on.
Oh, yes.
<Dun-na-na-na-na>.
Oh, my God.
Moist. That's a classic entry, Claire.
Thank you.
That will maintain moistness for weeks to come.
In the moist really hall will. Of moistness.
In the hall of moistness.
Nikki?
All right, who wants to... Yeah, Nikki. You share your
turn.
Moistness.
Okay. Mine is only tangentially related to Star Wars.
Ugh.
But it is
doesn't target.
Oh wait, I told my one story already.
Oh god.
Sorry, continue.
No, so I was in Walmart and
I saw an old man.
but anyway, this my tangentially related moistness is related to the NASA InSight mission. This little sucker.
Hello?
Left humanity in May and landed on Mars in late November, last week or something. And it really is just, it's an insane feat of just science and space and what people are achieving. And it always reminds me of how, you know, we some people are just inspired by stories and you know, Star Wars and science fiction and whatever in different ways. Like some people are inspired to tell stories themselves, but then others sort of find Star Wars as a jumping off point into the sciences and stuff. And I can't help but think that somebody working on this awesome space initiative, you know, is on that team because they saw Star Wars. They were inspired by the adventures in space and they pursued it scientifically. And now we are doing incredible things with science.
Science.
See, now I...
And that picture, it took a picture on Mars, like the robot or whatever. And it is just mind blowing that has been achieved.
Pretty shit picture though, to be fair. No filters or anything.
Oh my god.
No, Nikki, that was a great story. And it was such a great story that I kind of hate the fact that I have to follow that up with my stupid story. Your story is about humanity pushing outwards into the unknown and being sort of the origin of that. Like, the origin of that impressiveness, which is a word I've just made up, comes from Star Wars. And mine's about the thing that made me moist is the fact that it's December and I've got an advent candle with a stormtrooper with a Christmas hat on.
This is why Star Wars is for everyone, though.
It's
every spectrum of imagination. You know, you can land a drone on Mars that takes months to arrive, and you have to get the science perfect. Or you can just be sitting in your room enjoying a stormtrooper with a hat and clapping like a little toy monkey.
Hey, there's chocolate too, buddy. There's chocolate too.
Star Wars is for everyone.
Unless you watch Star Wars Kids, then you're a fool.
Yeah, especially you kids watching Star Wars.
Well,
kids.
Guys, if something made you moist this week, and please keep it Star Wars related, you can tweet us on Imp Senate Pod, and we will read out whatever made you moist next week. Deal? If not,
looking forward to it.
Yeah, if you don't, then I can't help you there. It's sort of a weird thing to do to us, considering that we've done so much for you. And
we're really putting ourselves out here with this.
We're basically heroes. Okay. Yeah. You disagree? Claire,
you're great, Charlie.
We single-handedly got man on Mars. That's right, right?
the InSight probe was listening to Imperial Senate podcast episodes as it traveled.
God, I never would have made it.
It's like, oh, that Kristen, real thigh slapper.
Classic Nikki. Well, that's pretty much all for the main section of the podcast this week. What we've done, we've actually got one more segment that we want to push to last because obviously we care about you and we love you so much. Yeah, we do, which is why
we care about your innocence.
Fucking a robot.
Sexy
cyborgs.
Sexy cyborgs. Han Seaman.
By the way, I had a joke that I didn't say during that segment, so you should be proud of me for not going even worse than that.
I'm proud
Pretty
of you.
Much,
it's the first time that's ever happened.
It was a spit or swallowed joke.
Look at you.
I've said it now. Oh, I've given up.
God damn it.
Tastes like midichlorians.
Come on and see.
Jesus Christ.
But what is our next segment? Dare I ask?
It's our sperm taste segment. No.
No!
My head. Oh, okay.
Control,
you must learn control.
Think of a clown, you must. Spoiler alert.
Remember the cave.
Leave your weapon to it.
Oh my god.
Hashtag Star Wars. Or what was it? SWS experience.
Yes.
A classic.
Oh, it's the best of the hashtags ever.
But we did save for the end because we want to make sure that you don't listen to spoilers if you don't want to hear them. We have some Reddit theories or rumors that have been going around.
Segment we called
Be
Reddit.
Dig into those
Reddit
for a little bit.
So if you don't want any potential plot or design element spoilers for The Mandalorian, Galaxy's Edge, Fallen Order, or Episode 9, I mean, sorry. You might have to skip ahead or just quit the episode here. We love you. We respect you. We understand. If you want to know everything apart from a specific thing that's strange, I recommend just skipping anyway or just reading the Reddit segment yourself. But this is your warning. Okay. Give you 5 more seconds. Give you a little kiss goodnight. Goodbye. Okay, I think we're in territory now.
Spoilers now.
Spoilers.
Everyone dies.
I can't believe it. They kill everyone off and everything.
It's just Star Wars is gone now. After 2019, no more Star Wars.
They killed everyone, Nikki.
Disney actually built a Death Star, and they're gonna blow us up.
Oh boy,
children too.
Oh boy, the women and the children, I killed them all.
Oh no.
You have made time an ally of the rebellion. Take away.
Well, gosh. I need my Galen. Gosh.
I love you, Stardust.
Oh my god, I wish I could do any sort of impersonations.
I'm turning in on you. Wait, you're Yoda? okay, enough of that. What did you guys think about all these Reddit spoilers? We'll start off with the Mandalorian because there's a baby involved. That's cool.
A baby.
A baby.
And we all know how babies are made.
Mm-hmm. Easy, either spit or swallowed.
Ew.
No. No.
Let's
neither
see.
Of those ways. So that's not how babies are made.
Not in this galaxy, sister.
Oh, what do you think was glistening on Han's chest, Claire?
No.
Little bend.
I'm making Wookiee cookies.
Lumpy.
Okay. So, the Mandalorian. Sort of this idea, the central plot revolves around a man and a baby.
A baby.
I hope it's the boss baby.
David Collins.
What if it's just really what if Taika came in and was just like, guys, this is all shit. Let me do something with this. And he decides to make it just this like hyper intelligent baby. And it's straight up absurd comedy. But yeah. Mandalorian encounters a baby on one of his missions that, you know, he's maybe supposed to kill and ends up saving it and keeping it safe. A little bodyguard action going on. What do you guys think about the sort of possible direction for the story? Is it intriguing to you?
It is intriguing to me. If we have Pedro Pascal as our Mandalorian, does he find a Gina Carano baby and raise her to be the...
That's so weird.
Gina Carano in a crib.
Literally just her face onto a baby's body. CGI.
This is the high tech. This is the tech that Joe Russo's talking about. He superimposed Gina Carano's face on a fucking baby.
Oh my god.
What?
But it's...
it's like Michael Douglas all over again.
Oh my god. It's oh my freaking word. Yeah, it sounded like
someone photoshopped this.
It sounded like in the leak there would be like some sort of time jump, especially said they were talking about like the artwork is getting changed and upgraded throughout the show and over time.
And the armor, right? Like his armor gets sort of adapted.
Which is super going to be super cool to see. But yeah, I guess.
I think people are also saying that could this potentially be the same character from the Aftermath books? Because it's something Tatooine.
Oh, that's right. There is a Mandalorian chilling.
The guy who takes Boba Fett's armor. Could this be linked to that, or could we see him pop up at some point? Personally, I hope that we find out that Ted Danson's cast in this show, so we could have three men and a baby, but Star Wars.
I mean, I would watch Ted Danson do whatever he wants to do, to be honest.
Anything.
Like, The Mandalorian was actually Tom Selleck. Would you watch that?
Are you kidding me? I am pro mustaches in Star Wars, man. So, yeah.
I mean, just think about Pedro in Kingsman,
too.
Oh,
my God.
I mean, it's hard not to.
Sweet, sweet stash action.
I mean, yeah, I think this sounds pretty interesting. I mean, we don't know if it's for sure, but making Star Wars seems to lean towards it being sort of likely. You know, for this and the episode 9 segment, Galaxy's Edge wise, there's not really that much additional information apart from the fact that there's a bit more detail on the Millennium Falcon, right?
Yes. And it sounds so freaking cool. So on the leaks for the Galaxy's Edge Falcon ride, it sounds okay. Here's just what it says. Okay. It'll be a 6-person interactive ride where each person plays a role, including pilot, co-pilot, manning of the turret gun, ship repair, etc. And it's going to be super immersive, and you have to work as a team to accomplish some sort of mission and get an escape on the Falcon, which that sounds super neat. I'm a fan of that.
I can't wait for the engineer segment. It's just you have to stand in that bit of the Falcon from Empire and have a Hydra spanner drop on your head.
Oh my god. Do you get 3PO being annoying?
My question is, how do you... That's a good question. What if he's just in one of the chairs?
The possibility of you getting out of this conflict is 3,721.
I just want to know how they're going to resolve the issue of everybody wanting to be pilot.
Oh, good luck. We're going to have a fight to the death. Like, is it going to be... to determine who gets to be the pilot.
Like, you know how some rides have, like, front row only, like, separate line? Are they going to have, like, a pilot only line?
Oh, yeah.
And just everybody's like, I'm the pilot. No, shut up.
Let's be real. Not all of us are going to the park with a group of six people. If there's just, like, two of you hanging out that day and you have to team up with another four random people and, like, everybody wants to be the pilot and you don't know each other, that could lead to some serious scuffles, especially if people have been visiting that cantina beforehand and having a few blue milks. Yeah, it could be bad.
Okay, listen, all right. I'm the pilot.
I'm just trying to think what the six positions could be. 12 bosses. So you get pilot, co-pilot, turret, and repair. It's like, what else does someone do? You have a lower turret and an upper turret spot?
Because there's two turrets on the Falcon.
Yeah, so that could be two spots. So now we're down to... And then if there's repair, so what's the sixth one?
It's for the elderly people. It's the hide in the smuggler section.
Under the floorboards.
I want it to be Lando's Falcon, so the sixth position can be sit at the wet bar.
Nice. Make drinks for everyone.
Have a drink. Like, hope you guys don't die. I'm just going to make a drink over here. That's me.
Yeah, well, this will be fun. I can't wait to go see it in 10 years.
with my pension money.
we'll see how much more stuff comes out, because there hasn't been a whole lot on the rides front, right? Like, we sort of know about this Millennium Falcon thing, and we know about a Resistance sort of thing, that video from the First Order Star Destroyer.
It sounds like since that was footage from the actual ride on that Star Destroyer, it sounds like you're going to be on the First Order ship and battling the Resistance. I mean, if you walk through that section, then you'd be chilling on their ship.
Right.
Nice.
So let's shoot Poe Dameron out of the sky.
Well, calm down.
Scary prospect.
I mean, no spoilers from the Resistance episode a couple weeks ago, but I'm totally down to blast Poe Dameron out of the sky, that jerk. Let's chill.
I wonder what will Poe have to do to repair the rift between the two of you?
And some things are broken beyond repair. I just don't know what he can do. He better be freaking incredible in episode 9. He better, like, hug a Kowakian monkey lizard, give it a little kiss on the forehead and say, I guess monkeys aren't so bad. Maybe that's how I'll forgive him.
I wonder, sometimes I wonder how much, I wonder how much influence Dave Filoni had on that sort of storyline, because he's been vocal about his disdain for monkeys.
Well, Dave Filoni has terrible taste, and he's not going to make it in Star Wars anyway, so.
Fucking scrub. It's like, Dave Filoni, I don't know her.
To finish up on Galaxy's Edge, like you said, it is kind of strange, because it always felt like it was so far in the future, like we didn't have to think about it that much. But it's next year it's coming out, so it's interesting that we haven't seen that much.
Yeah, I wonder how much they're going to consider as like a surprise.
Oh boy!
I'm sure it's going to be amazing, like, to be part of that first group to go see it. But yeah, definitely a lot more to keep an eye on.
Probably be like the Harry Potter ride, where they just get the actors to go on it first.
Yeah.
Everybody, oh my god!
We need more footage of Hayden on roller coasters.
Yeah, we do.
It's something I didn't know I needed until just now.
The only good thing to come out of this this Galaxy's Edge. Should we jump to Fallen Order?
Yeah, which is a game about Jedi falling over. No, it's not.
Oh, my
life alert.
We don't really know too much about the game. We know the main character is called Cal, and apparently it just takes place 5 years after Revenge of the Sith. And it's basically about like one of the Jedi Padawans that escaped and is learning to live after everyone's dead, basically. And it's due to be, I think it's released November next year. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure, but I can believe it.
we'll nod our head and say yes.
Yeah. Okay, I have a small bit of beef with this.
Go on, eat the beef.
And it's only that I feel like this story is so
done.
It's like it's been done so many times. Just this like sort of like Padawan and Inquisitors. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like a very original adventure to me.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like if you're going to do this story, make it about Kanan. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, like it just sort of like seems like it's retreading that whole vibe of, you know, lost, unprepared Jedi fighting Inquisitors, and even like the Force Unleashed to some respect. Like if you consider, you know, evil's what is it, Starkiller or whatever, as an Inquisitor role, and just sort of like that hunting of lost Jedi.
I mean, yeah.
It just seems like a story that's been told like in different ways, in many different forms, and I'm not sure if it's as exciting as I originally thought it would be.
I mean, the only thing that excites me is that apparently, according to this, the Ninth and Second Sister are involved, so perhaps the villains will be the Inquisitors, which would be interesting to see, and to delve into them a bit more, because I like the fact that the Darth Vader comic did that. Apart from that, I've been hearing some other stuff about the game behind the scenes, and I don't think it's going to be that great. Yeah, I can't divulge anymore, but like, I'm not sure how this game's going to react. It kind of sounds a bit like The Force Unleashed.
Meets
some of the elements of Battlefront, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Is that negativity surrounding the content itself, or like?
I think it's more or less the story is lacking, kind of. At least, just based on my opinion and your opinion as well on this, like, this is sort of ground we've already tread. I don't know how much you can add to that.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like the most sort of bummed out.
I know for sure that there's supposed to be more Star Wars games to be revealed soon. I wouldn't be surprised if Celebration sort of comes out with a few announcements. But yeah, this one just seems rushed, which is a shame because apparently the people that make it made Titanfall. I've never played Titanfall, but apparently it's supposed to be pretty popular, right?
Certainly the second one, I think, made massive improvements. I think I've not played it yet, but I've heard from multiple friends who said the story mission, like the campaign mode for Titanfall 2 was like one of the best they'd played that year.
I mean,
so
fingers crossed. I always want there to be good content. I don't want there to be bad stuff, but you know, you can't win them all. Speaking of them,
Yeah. It's almost just, it turns into a point where it's like, is it a game you're going to spend, or like a story in a game you're going to spend the whatever, $60-something on, or is it something you can watch a cut-up of on YouTube for free. So yeah, I mean, that's sort of the question surrounding Fallen Order right now for me, but we'll see.
Time will tell.
Let's just wrap this up with a little bit of episode 9 news. I just want to focus on this one thing before we go, because obviously this is a long episode. Kylo Ren's helmet is back, baby. With a cool new feature, obviously, it's going to be... That's okay.
Sorry.
It's the same helmet that he smashed up in anger, but super glued back together. Pretty much. sort of, apparently, it's supposed to be like some sort of red glue sort of substance that it gives it this sort of cool, like, cracked look that sort of reflects his psyche and sort of like the lightsaber, which I think is really cool and doesn't abandon what happened in The Last Jedi, but sort of reinforces it. Like the idea that he's pushing back into this mask of himself. What do you guys think?
I like it. Cool. I love the helmet. I think that was one of the, I loved the image in Last Jedi of Kylo smashing the helmet and putting that, behind him. But now I think his walls are coming back up and he's trying to become more of a monster and not connect as much with Rey, at least as my prediction may go. I love the idea of him putting that helmet back together with the red adhesive. And it's just so First Order. It's kind of like Inferno Squad vibes for me, and I think that it's super, super cool. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if his Knights of Ren are coming back, hopefully. Then
indeed.
They can all have their cute little masks together.
I was like initially split over it. Like I was positive about it for like those exact same reasons. Like if him smashing the mask was like more of a like, well, this asshole Snoke is like telling me to get rid of it, and then him like taking it back is like sort of a rebuttal to what how like Snoke influenced him. I think that's cool. And also like sort of reverting back to who he was. But I also like the side of like him not hiding behind that mask and like showing the like the scar as like an acceptance of that like sort of broken side or whatever. So I feel like it could have worked both ways for me. So I'm not like super into it, but I'm not like against it either. I sort of like the idea of him accepting like his face.
TLJ, which is interesting. It's like you said, he accepts his face, but I feel like the ending of the film shows him reverting back in the sense that he kind of realized that he fucked up when he's holding the dice and it disappears. It's kind of like that semblance of hope is gone. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he just wants to fall back on this idea. Yeah, and he has to fall into this menacing
comfort zone
ideal of himself, like Vader does. And that maybe the mask helps that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think both ways definitely could have worked for me. I think it's like interesting that because it's JJ, it's kind of like, does JJ just want the mask back? but yeah, no, I think it'll, I don't think they would bring it back if it at least didn't look cool. So I feel like it'll at least be a really cool look for him. And like Claire said, with the Knights of Ren, it'll be cool if he really is falling back into that old club he had in and whatnot in episode 9.
But like none of them wear masks. It's just him. He bans them.
He makes them take off those ridiculous things.
Wow, lame.
And I guess this rumor also, I think it was this rumor, I can't tell. But I saw something about it only sort of taking place a year after Last Jedi. Yeah, because there were lots of sort of speculation about what kind of time jump there might be, if it's going to go really far or not.
Very quick conflict.
So a year seems interesting.
What was that?
A very quick conflict.
Oh, yeah. It definitely is a very quick conflict. I don't know if that's enough time, in my opinion, to... Well, who knows? Maybe we won't get that the ending that... Maybe things won't go the way we think, and...
Whoa.
Oh, my God, I quoted a Star Wars. And, And I don't know how this conflict is going to end. I mean, I feel like the good guys have to win, but how can they do so? How can they rebuild that quickly and not be hunted down in that short of time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I would have definitely bought more into a longer time frame. But, I mean, of course, it's still a rumor, so we don't know. But yeah, we'll see. It is kind of like funny to think that this whole thing sort of took place in a year.
Who knows? JJ Abrams.
But there's another interesting. I was going to say there's another interesting little piece of information which appeals to me from these potential leaks, and that's another new droid buddy for BB-8. Yeah, it's described as being little and having sort of a cone-shaped head, like a megaphone, and being a little sidekick to BB-8. But the thing that I found interesting about that is its name is Dio. And if you played Battlefront 2, the handsome little ID-10 droid that Iden carries around, she calls him Dio as well. So, # Inferno Squad in... Episode 9, ooh. Except Dio from Battlefront 2 is definitely not cone-shaped by any means, but that's what I thought of. I was like, when I first saw that it was named Dio, I was like, oh, is my little buddy coming? I'm like, oh no, he's not.
I think the Making Star Wars article also talks about how, like, Dio fits inside BB-8.
What?
I think that's right. I think I read that right. And, like, Dio can pop out of BB-8. And sort of like do side me, sort of like the way Iden's Dio like hooks onto her back and can just sort of like detach, right, and go do shit. It kind of sounds like a similar vibe between BB-8 and Dio.
That's adorable.
Yeah, which can definitely be like a really entertaining side of that relationship. Like. Poe's like, BB-8, work your magic, buddy. BB-8's like, Dio, work your magic, buddy.
Oh, and Dio's like, screw you, I don't want to do this right now.
He's like, fuck off, I'm going to Alderaan. Oh, no, Alderaan's gone. I'm going to somewhere else.
Dio.
I'm going to join Boga.
Hey.
Dio. I'm done.
I just think of Ronnie James Dio. It's going to have a badass metal soundtrack to episode 9.
I guess there's also little things about the lightsaber being reforged.
Yes.
Which is an interesting development and a culmination of the movie being, guess what? If you couldn't have guessed this before, showdown between Rey and Kylo. Because it's not like they've done that before.
I thought they were best friends.
This is a really odd pairing of characters.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so that's interesting that they had to point that out. And what do you guys think about this jungle planet that's
I'm
cooking?
I'm thinking we're going to be chopping some wood, baby.
Two words, baby. Yeah, and four. Solo.
What if that's the end and it's just
Swolo
Ben
chopping wood?
I
would be satisfied.
Ray
reformed
blushing.
In his ways, chopping wood.
Ray loves rejoice.
Around the galaxy. It's like the fucking celebration party at Return of the Jedi, but only for Raylos. You're just like shooting around the different countries and they're all like toppling statues over.
We saw moist.
We saw free.
We saw moist.
And on that note, I think it's time we close the storybook.
Yeah. There's your spoiler film. You ruined your spoiler film.
With spoilers.
Oh. Oh.
You disagree with my terminology?
I don't know how I feel about that one. I didn't love it.
Remember your failure in the cave?
Oh my god.
It's Yoda's
if you've got anything to talk about Yoda's
promo.
Erectile dysfunction, DM Claire.
No, please don't. Please. I can't take anymore. Oh, I'm sad.
Anyway, so with that, we're going to wrap things up. Cut that out. So with that, we're going to wrap things up over here. Thank you for listening. You can follow the podcast at Imp Senate Pod on Twitter, at Imperial Senate Pod on Instagram. Like us on Facebook, you cheeky devils. Show updates and other cool stuff like Instagram posts. Also, just go on Instagram to see those. Or, you know, be naughty and like both. Naughty, naughty.
Naughty,
get some
naughty
sweet swag from tpublic.com/user/TheImperialSenatePodcast. On our tpublic site, you can get a shirt or a sticker or a tote bag with our faces on it. Why wouldn't you want one?
Or a tapestry.
Tapestry.
Okay. You can get our Imperial Senate logo t-shirt or sticker or tapestry. You can also get our Do You Want to Build a Death Star t-shirt? Or most importantly, get a moist mug. Moisten your lips with the sweet taste of the Imperial Senate podcast. Think about that sweet, sweet nectar created by our voices dripping on your lips.
I can't think about anything else now. Now that's marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. Great marketer. No, nothing. Okay. You can follow me on Twitter at CMWASHPY. You can follow me on Instagram. My name is Charlie MWASHPY. Nikki.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at Naquicious. That's NAQUICIOUS. And also this week, I will be a guest on the Star Wars Underworlds Kazuda cast, talking about the newest episode, Secrets and Holograms. So definitely catch their show later this week, and you can hear more from me there.
And Claire, where can people find you, apart from your DMs and walking across the street? I'm sorry. Cut that out.
No, it's fine. If you're on Twitter, you know it's been a rough week, gang.
Oh, and by the way, cool, can I just interrupt and say, thanks, don't guys do that. if you
don't do
if you
that
creep out Claire, please, I will don't find you and I will kill you. Or worse, I will show you a picture.
I mean, thanks, buddy.
Of
where's this going?
Ben Solo. Wait, that's it.
You've been warned.
You do realize that by offering a picture of Ben Solo, you've just motivated people to send me creepy messages.
If you send anything creepy to Claire, I will find you, I will kill you, and then I will make you watch the holiday special. In VR.
That's better. in VR.
And if you've seen that holiday special, you know what VR means.
Shooting in a way that nobody's ever shot before.
Baby face. Claire, where can people find you?
Oh, God, I'm scared. Well, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at cstribs, C-S-T-R-I-B-S. And yeah, that's probably the best place to find me. And just tweet at me there. It's cool.
I was kind of hoping you'd just be like, you can't find me. Just
leave me alone.
Yeah, like, just don't find me. Yeah. I don't want to talk to y'all this week. Please.
Well, that's all we've got time for this week. So as a little message to you overall, I hope you have a lovely December. We'll be back for a Christmas special spectacular. Two parts, guys.
Yay!
That's more than one.
That's a lot of parts.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now there are two of them.
Can't believe it. Yeah. So we'll be back. We'll update you on anything. If you have any Christmas stories, sort of lovely Christmas stories that have anything to do with Star Wars, maybe you had a lovely present one day, what the fuck? 1 year, you got a lovely Millennium Falcon or Lego set, record a message and send it to our email. You can find it on Twitter. And we shall play it on the Christmas episode. You've got till Friday, this Friday, which would be the...
Yeah, do it.
Bear with. Should have got this earlier, but I didn't. The 7th of December. So go ahead and do it. Have you guys got anything else to add? Okay. Thank you for listening. No. Don't creep out, Claire.
Thanks for listening.
Don't be a weirdo.
Jesus.
It's pretty easy. Pretty easy rules. We don't ask too much here at the Imperial Senate Podcast. Yeah. Just stay moist and don't message Claire about it.
That being said, if you want to send me and Nikki some cheeky DMs, go ahead. Bye.
The Council permanently. The last remnants of the Old Republic.